Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Once again, in a very personal manner, I'd like to mark the 50th anniversary of the election to the papacy of a much-loved pope, one once known as Good Pope John, and since the year 2000, also Blessed Pope John. For the record, Angelo Roncalli, who was elected as successor of Peter on the 28th of October 1958. I do this by dipping into our Vatican radio archives once again. So get ready to listen to his voice, as well as to testimonies from some of those who knew him. Testimonies I personally collected over the years. John the 23rd is best remembered as Good Pope John, the ordinary man who astonished the world. But while he has gone down in history books as the Pope who launched the Catholic Church into one of its most momentous epochs by calling the Second Vatican Council, it is the very human side to his personality that captured people's hearts and imaginations. People like those you'll be hearing on this programme, all of whom knew Pope John personally.
I remember when he was carried in the sedia gestatoria, and as a kind of joke he'd put his fingers in his ears like that and smile. And they were making too much noise, I remember. And he thought they made too much noise.
Quest'aula massima del mondo cristiano è tutta pervasa del richiamo apostolico. Siamo tutti qui partecipi di questo vasto movimento della cristianità.
Because he had a very vibrant voice, although he was an old man. He spoke very fast, perhaps because he was in a hurry. They said he was a man in a hurry, had a lot to do. And also he used his hands a lot. More than most Italians. He didn't control his hands. He waved, he used them all the time, and he communicated in every possible way with every part of himself, you know.
Ci sia lecito umilmente richiamare che in questo giorno esattamente l'umile successore di San Pietro, 40 anni or sono, chiamato dal Santo Padre Benedetto XV.
So he was walking up the stairs towards the main altar of St. Peter's and St. Peter's Basilica. And as he went, he stumbled and fell. And I could hear the big sigh through the crowd. Most of them knew him from home. You know, they're a fear, I guess. But he somehow scrambled up to his feet. I guess some Monsignor helped him up. But he got up on the top step and, you know, put his hands up in the sign of victory that he's still all right. And, you know, of course, the people all applauded, as you could expect, but he, with a big smile, then gave his talk.
Winston Churchill's first cousin, Sir John Leslie, was most struck by the Pope's sense of humour.
A great sense of humour. And Monsignor Hebbink, when he went around to the canons of St. Peter's, Monsignor Hebbink said, "Oh, I'm, Your Holiness, I'm just a poor American." He said, "Are there any?" She said, "No."
Dopo di me, più tardi, sempre, posso dire, sempre, questa chiesa d'America è stata provveduta dal Signore di belli ingegni, di anime elette. Chi verrà dopo di me, più tardi, sempre.
Rosminian father John Charles Leroux, who as the son of a former French ambassador to the Holy See grew up in Vatican circles, had a similar tale to tell.
It seemed that when he was elected Pope, the protocol is, what title are you going to give to your brothers or to your family? And his reply was, "Have you looked at them?" And another person, rather impertinent, had asked him, "Are you related to the Marquis of Roncalli?" See, there is a Marquis of Roncalli. And his reply was, "I am, by brothers or not.
Questo è, non è stampato, non è scritto.
Well, that amused me.
He said this last part is not
printed. Some of the bishops from Ohio, and I found myself being the interpreter. And Pope John had a marvelous way with him, you see, making fun of himself in a way. Apologized, you see, that he for not being able to speak to them in English. These just little flashes of humor, flashes of, that established a relationship, a mood. And so he's
founder of Boys Town, Monsignor Carroll Abbing,
Ohio. And he said he was delighted to meet the bishop from Ohio. So I, being knowing everything, you see, behind, said Ohio. And so he went on, you see, and then he says, so next time, he said, we have dear friends coming to see him from Ohio. I said Ohio. So he half turned to me and said, Ohio, Ohio. And I said, this is now when you keep quiet. You see, this is beautiful, beautiful spontaneity. And that was very much him.
And now a word of greeting to our beloved English-speaking children in the Archdiocese of...
He was known here as, yeah, among the Americans and among the... indeed among the Italians, Johnny Walker, because he loved walking and talking and meeting people and gesticulating and communicating and joking to you.
Former Prior General of the Augustinians, Father Martin Nolan.
We heard that he wandered off without announcing to anybody that he was descending for a walk in the garden. And whenever he went down there, he found nobody working. So that eventually he began to phone around, as what's happening, is nobody working in the Vatican. And they explained to him that Pius XII had wished that all the gardeners and others disappear when he took his daily walk. But John XXIII, I heard, said, oh, no, sure, what's the point of taking a walk if you can't talk to somebody? So leave them there so that we can chat about this and that. And so in this way, the regime changed.
I remember one time, one of the universities, the first time the Pope went there, in our memory anyway, Pope Pius XII did not do that. He gave us a little peroration on how we should study hard to be good priests and to be good religious.
The late Father Redemptus Vallerbeck, a Carmelite.
End of it, and he was trying to tell us how we have to be faithful to this church of ours that all of us love so much. And he was getting on, then he was getting toward the end of his talk, so he said, don't forget this church of ours that we have to love so much, this one holy Catholic, and he couldn't think of the next word. And I could see all the Monsignor around him were embarrassed as anything. And he kept stuttering, and he couldn't get it. He said, well, let's say Roman. He forgot apostolic. Anyway, that was Pope John. You know, it made all of us feel good, especially we who were up for exams. You know, if the Pope couldn't remember apostolic, it gave us a lot of hope. And that's why we were big fans of Pope John the 23rd.
When he was appointed nuncio in Paris, I was in the Foreign Office by then. I'd been called back to the Foreign Office. And I remember one day, I found the car in front of the main door and suitcases everywhere, and the nuncio coming down the stairs. So he told me, oh, yes, you know, I've received a telegram from Rome asking me to go to be urgently, to come urgently to Rome. An obedient son of the church, as you see, I'm starting on the moment. But I'm not taking the aeroplane. In fact, one took very seldom the aeroplane still in those years. Nor the night train. I'm taking my car. And as the nuncio must stop at every great cathedral that he sees and inspects what's happening there and so on, speaks to the bishop, I'll be in Rome in about 10 years' time. By that time, the problem would have been solved by somebody else.
Che da noi, ma insomma, si tratta sempre di un'energia vera a tutore della Chiesa Cattolica sulla quale si può contare.
I did go back to the Vatican while he was reigning during his pontificate. And he had developed, for instance, the court size. He had also taken up, in his own dressing, things that had disappeared. He dressed sometimes with that bonnet that you see on the portraits of Julius II by Raphael, and that had disappeared. He used the room of the Tronetto, which was a little throne room next to the office of the Pope, which Pius XII very rarely... In fact, I never saw Pius XII use that room, but he used it again. He sat on the throne and once for the audiences of officials, not in his desk, he was on the throne, and there were two armchairs at the foot of the throne. And that's why when he received the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh, there was a display of the court that amazed all the English people. The Duke and the Queen came back absolutely thrilled by the display of that Renaissance court in its full splendour.
You enjoyed part four of my series of these very personal features I put together for you, focusing on the figure of Pope John the 23rd, blessed John the 23rd, to mark the 50th anniversary of his election as successor of Peter. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.